United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as part of the PTL club.
America and upholding the values and beliefs that are important to you and me. If you care about this country, if you care about freedom and democracy, and you believe that those things make America great, I urge you to listen to my show.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Good afternoon, everybody. The big show is about to start, and we're getting ready to take it out on a Tuesday. You know how I come in and, oh, thank you. I know. You know how I come in and I set it off for Tracy on Tuesdays while she's out working and she's getting some things done and always, and she's willing and dealing and doing all that. But right now you got me, the notorious GOP, that's green on politics, or you can call me Rush Limbaugh. And, you know, because they hate that I'm a conservative, and so they just dog me all the time. But you know what? I got a thick skin, and I don't care because I believe I'm right. And one of the big things, the good things about going on the side of historical right is it's right. historical right. That's all I can tell you. You gotta look on the side of history. What happened long time ago? How do you fit into what happened long time ago? Are you about to repeat the same old thing long time ago? You know, it's crazy. I think we are. I think we're going to make some very bad mistakes believing that the Jews in Europe were wrong. They were wrong to trust Hitler, especially after he started teaching in schools certain things. I'm gonna tell you. Give me a call here at 1-347-945-5229. That's 1-347-945-5229, or locally at 330-781-9600. You call me at those numbers and talk to me, then I'm going to give you a couple of things that I think are very clear that happened in Germany during the 30s. That we should be looking out for right now. Okay, now, one of the things is, in Germany, Adolf Hitler came to power, and when he came to power, one of the first things he did was took over the media. And in his taking over the media, you know what he said? Nobody is allowed to say something negative against the government. That was sedition, treasonous, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I should say this. How is that being done today? The mainstream media is totally in the pocket of the president, but he doesn't want any opposition, and so he made up a lie and said that Fox News, you know, he'd have more cooperation out of the House if Fox News didn't punish those who wanted to compromise. I hate to tell you, but that was a straight-out, bald-faced lie. And that's a lie. That Fox News and Rush Limbaugh punish those people. And so that's why they don't work together. Why would anybody care what Fox News, the only outlet that stands against the president and tells the truth about his ineptness when it comes to Benghazi, when it comes to the Middle East, and we're going to talk about that here in a minute too. Why did you find it necessary to go after this one agency? There's Fox News, there's Rush Limbaugh and several other talk show hosts on radio, and you know, like Hannity, like Glenn Beck, like what they call him, the great one, I forget his name, up in New York, Michael Savage. And here goes the situation. This guy has to make sure he puts down all opposition, just like they did in Nazi Germany. Just like they did then. Now, he was on the create a super race. I think that they're here now trying to create a super poor race. Why do I say what I say? A super poor race is always dependent on the government. It can't do anything else. No, it can't. Super poor race can't help itself. It has to have its hand out and its mouth open toward the government so that the government can feed it. They're talking about amnesty right now. For a lot of people, it's like 11 million people we're talking about. Now, many of them are not on the systems here, but if they get some type of amnesty where they can get on programs, you're going to have a problem. But I wanted to put those things out. That's one of the things he did. He controlled the media. Then he started putting people in the schools and teaching young men a certain way about the Jews and about Germany, and teaching young ladies the same, but in different ways. He did this. This is what he did. What do you think is going on in our schools now, where you're not allowed to let your child believe that some type of lifestyle might be wrong? How does that fit you? The lifestyle might be wrong, so you're not allowed to say it, or else that's hate speech and we could fine you and even jail you. This is the things he did. Not like that, though. He did it the opposite. He did it very harshly. He was very harsh about the situation. He killed you if you didn't agree or disagree. They're not yet killing you for that. And this is the number two thing, which really came first, but number two that I'm putting on my list. In 1936 or 7, I believe, he made a gun law where he took all of the guns out of the hands of the private citizens. That's how he was able to kill 6 million Jews. Because he had, those people were unarmed people. And as soon as he was able to accomplish that, he started going into towns and telling people not to buy from the Jews, and he'd mark their stores Jewish, and you're forbidden to buy from here, or else you could be killed, or whatever. So now, and they taught mean, nasty things about the Jews. Well, let's just take the Jews and make it in this country, make it the rich. It's the same thing. You were taught that the rich is not paying their fair share. You were taught that the rich is not doing the right thing. They're stealing your money, and they're not doing this with you, and make it blah, blah, blah. The rich, the rich. And, of course, on the lower levels are low-information voters, as I've heard them described. Our low-information voters said it's all of the Republicans. Like all Republicans are rich. And they believe this. I hear the comments on other radio stations. Everybody, a Republican, is all, they're all rich. That's all they care about is money. That's all it, what? This is stupid. You've allowed somebody to do a class warfare on you, and you're doing the same thing that they did in Germany in the 30s and the beginning of the 40s. A conditioning of the people. You have a split in this country, and you have a lot of people, the Christians, which we can put in the place of the Jews, that aren't voting because they didn't like the choice. I understand that, but at the same time, you couldn't afford four more years of what you went through because you're going to be in trouble. They made nationalist systems. Nazi party means national, a socialist party. One thing they did, got they got rid of the communists, but at the same time, they used the things right now of the tactics the communists use. This is not freedom, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a free America. No, President Obama, we understand how you won the election, that you made people more poor by shutting down jobs and your war on work with your EPA and all these other things. We understand that. I do anyway. You were able to accomplish it. You were able to put the most sweeping change in that has ever changed, which is called the health care law, which is going to annihilate jobs and annihilate people. I want us to really pay attention. If you think I'm crazy, please call me and tell me why I'm crazy. 1-347-945-5229 or 330-781-9600 if you're in the Youngstown, Ohio area. Now, out of my rantings today, I had a particular thing, and I put this on Facebook, and I'm going to put this out as the second thing of the day. I said, I'm not sure what to say about immigration. It seems to me that a lot of complaint is a little misguided, as I don't think that the pilgrims ever applied for a green card. So my emotions are a little mixed here. However, this is totally different circumstance than the day the pilgrims came here. There were no hustling and bustling cities already ready for the pilgrims to come to and lodge and work. I do believe that the system needs to be fair for those that have waited to get here on the immigration list, with special consideration for those that have a skill set that we need in this country. That particular part will ensure that we just don't have a lot of people coming because of the benevolence of our country's social programs. It would spell disaster for us to load the system up more and people from other countries when 50% of America has already received some sort of government assistance. I pray wisdom on our leaders on this one. This one cannot be made according to politics as usual. May the President and the Congress be blessed with more wisdom than our founders in making the policy and all fiscal policies over the next 4 years, as it will be key to our survival. Matt, I don't have enough time to do you justice to call you up because I'm going to break in about 40 seconds. So, callers online, hold on. Chat room, hey, say hey to you. We'll be back here in about a couple minutes right after we pay some bills. But listen to what I'm saying. Christians, please wake up and start realizing that we've gone way far down a road that we cannot afford. If you had come out, we wouldn't be going down that road so far right now. You can't not vote on a philosophical difference when there's a sin difference of evil being purported, babies being killed, rights being taken. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Jeff in the air chair. See you back on the other side.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accept.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back afternoon with Tracy and Friends, and the number here is 1-347-945-5229. Here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial, and also at WSOM 600 AM on iHeartRadio, and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. And just a reminder for those that are listening and may call in because you're a little irate sometimes, don't cuss because we're on... terrestrial radio, and we wouldn't want to collect the ire of the communications people out there. We don't want to have them shutting us down and kicking us off the air by you guys getting all upset and cursing on the air. So thank you. You have been forewarned. And I want to rant one more thing before I bring up Matt. The situation with President Obama and Hillary Clinton, I saw the biggest charade I've ever seen before the other night on 60 Minutes. Now, I Googled it, not Googled it, I TiVo'd it, more or less recorded it, and then I came... I came back and looked at it later. I'm reading them in the chat room. They're killing me in the chat room. These are my friends that usually agree with me, but they just want to mess with me today. But the situation is Barack Obama, how should I say it? He had an attitude, a very, you know, I'm better than you and this, that, and the other. And he was saying how great a Secretary of State that Hillary Clinton was because she helped dismantle Al Qaeda. Well, who bought this? If you bought this, Stanley, if you bought this, call me. My friend, local friend, my liberal friend, Mark, if you bought this, I want you to call me. If anybody thinks that Hillary Clinton has been a good Secretary of State, please call me. And if this was not just a send-off, this is my fair-haired child for the 2016 run, and we're going to put her back out here to run now after I beat the pants off of her, literally, you know, because she wears those pantsuits. I thought this action was crazy. I thought it was absolutely insane. If we've dismantled Al-Qaeda, then tell me, Mr. President, what your Secretary of State was doing when you all instituted the Arab Spring and overthrew all of these leaders in these countries, these stabilized countries, that you could have used your foreign aid to change their behavior. Now, you could have dealt with Gaddafi. You could have changed how he looked at things like Bush 1 did, or Reagan. Who was it, Reagan that bombed, Bush 1 or Reagan that bombed Muammar Gaddafi? The other thing is, you also could have controlled Mubarak, and because you gave him pretty much his old defense. I'd like to see this. So now that's number two. Number three, if Al-Qaeda's finished, who killed our people in Benghazi? And if somebody killed our people in Benghazi, it wasn't Al-Qaeda, but Al-Qaeda got blamed for it. Who is in North Africa wreaking havoc on people that we have to send drones into different places looking for these people? And as soon as you kill off one set of them, two others crop up somewhere. No, you failed, Hillary Clinton. You also had told all of these countries last year, January, that their foreign aid was going to be hindered if they did not adhere to gay rights and women's rights in those countries. I'd like to see you go to a Muslim Brotherhood state and enforce that one. Good luck. You got to be stupid. And if anybody bought that the other day, I want to know. You call me 1-347-945-5229 or 330-781-9600. Matt, you are in the air, sir.
Hey, Jeff. Yeah, hey. That was Reagan that basically put Gaddafi in his place. He gift-wrapped a couple tomahawks and placed it nicely in his living room and took out part of his family.
That's true.
I remember that quite well. Hillary Clinton really does have a part in Al-Qaeda, and she did play a pretty big role in the way that they view us currently in the world. And that's the fact that she helped quite well to turn Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups into the victim, because that seems to be what the left does, is they look to see why these terrorist groups do what they do. And they say, well, maybe it's America's place in the world and the fact that we have the morals we do, and these terrorist groups seem to have the right to attack the Western world and the Western way of life because we tend to be a little bit overbearing.
So we were so racist with that film, Matt. That's what it was, that film.
Oh, absolutely.
That nobody knew what the hell it was all about. Excuse my mouth.
Right.
Nobody knew.
About. And yet yeah. Al-Qaeda can release a couple years after 9/11, they can release a video of them chopping the head off of, I believe it was a reporter or something.
David Pearl.
David Pearl, yeah. And they were actually chopping, not a quick slice, they were actually sawing his head off while he was screaming. But no, that's not as bad as, you know, releasing some information on how somebody feels about the way these terrorist groups are run. So, yeah, Hillary Clinton did play a pretty big role in victimizing Al-Qaeda and such groups.
Well, I guess in that way she's become a great Secretary of State. But I thought it was the most foolish thing I'd ever seen. I'm looking at this. This is what I see. I see the puppets behind President Obama. And I see this. I see some very heavy, very intelligent, very wicked and evil people. And they know how to play the game. But here's the thing. When they leave it to them, you come down to a grade school level of a politic playing. The big guys have made the decisions that are putting the opposition in tailspins here and there, because the opposition, you know, I think that here in the United States, I think that the Republicans think that they're still fighting the same game they were 50 years ago, and it's not so. That's
far
my own
problem.
Personal. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you're right. This is just too much, and it's not that game anymore. They're playing a very well thought out game where they have completely taken over the minds of people, and the only thing you're going to be able to do, because money's going to run out soon, it's going to run out. Okay, you can't keep this one up. You can't keep this up.
Like, you know what I think the big difference is people are willing to buy whatever lie that they get as long as their political idealism is fulfilled. I mean, listen, we're talking, going back to Hillary Clinton, we're talking about a woman who said not too long ago, a couple of years ago, that she had gotten off a helicopter or an airplane in Afghanistan while under fire and she had to run for her life. Well, when they caught her on that lie, she said, well, I misspoke. You misspoke. That's a big misspeak there.
She lied. She plain flat out lied.
Secretary of State. Now these are the people that we're putting into office. Look at the our dear leader right now. The man has written books about demonizing and demoralizing the Constitution. And yeah, well, I'm sorry, he didn't write the books. Somebody wrote the books for him, which is true. And I could see that argument if it wasn't for the fact that he did the audio book with his own voice for his book. So obviously he agrees with it.
Hold on, Matt, local caller, you are on the air.
Where's Osama bin Laden at?
Where's Osama bin Laden? Osama bin Laden is dead because of what Bush put in place.
this sounds like the Hannity Beck.
You know what? The only thing about that, it might sound like the Hannity Beck whatever, but the thing is whether the doggone stuff is true.
Listen up. A true Brown fan would never root for the Raiders. Okay?
What?
Brown fan would never.
You mixing stuff up now.
Never.
You know you twisted now.
Okay, never.
See, that's why I can't listen to you, Ronald, because you are twisted now. Because you know I'm going for the Bravens.
Never.
Yeah.
Hey, look here, man. Come
yeah.
on. Why don't you and your sidekick get off of that mess you talked about? Jeff, you said the same thing 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Bobby Jindal just said, you all sound stupid.
That's
stupid part.
Well,
listen.
Yeah.
Nice people, he said, what you sound like and what you act like, just what I'm listening to now.
No, because I'm saying the same thing that Bobby Jindal is saying.
Haley Barbour agreed with him.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, and I listen now. Stupid talk, what I'm just hearing. Now, how you going to go back to something she said in getting off and out? Come on.
She lied, Ronald.
The problem is, if you looked at that, and then if you looked at the proceedings the other day when she sat there from 9 o'clock, she even gave him an extra hour because she was supposed to leave at 4 to 5 o'clock, and the way they drilled her, and then Rand Paul came with some crap about some turkey, arms from Turkey. Guess where his information came from? Glenn Beck. That's the only source. That was just plain stupid.
It was
to come out something with Glenn Beck said and some guns from Turkey. The whole proceedings were stupid. And guess what? She wore all they butts out. That was Hillary Clinton right there.
Wait
a minute. 4 years from now, who you all will be seeing again. That's why
those
Republicans did is trying to get some talking points. And the only thing they got out of there when she went into that little rage right there, that's the only thing they'll use, and they'll doctor that up.
Wait a minute. No, that's not true. That's not true. No, it's not true because this is the thing. There's no way that an ambassador is on the line screaming for his life and Hillary Clinton didn't do it. She's a liar. She's a freaking liar. Now, you want... Now, you got me flustered. What's the man's name that just got killed over there?
They got killed and it was sad. I mean,
our ambassador was screaming for his life, said, we're under fire. We cannot hold these people back. Send us help, please. And they were told to stand down. Tell me that didn't get to Hillary Clinton's desk.
There's no proof.
What do you mean no proof? I don't give a doggone about proof.
You're on your language lately.
Because I'm fed up with this, Ronald.
H-E-double
hockey. That's what I was getting ready to say. But the thing is you understand, man. She's a liar.
What would you be fed up when you're in the minority?
I don't care.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
The majority of the people have voted. They have spoken. You are
my brother,
a minority, and you can't accept it.
My brother, I've been a minority all my life.
You know what I'm talking about.
I'm saying, I've been a minority all my life. Okay, so I'm used to not getting what I want to have.
But there's no sense in you getting all of mad. The majority of the people spoke. They put President Barack Obama in office, and that's just the way it is.
Let's put it this way.
And that justified four people dead.
Woohoo!
Let's take it.
I mean,
no questions asked.
Yeah, no questions asked. People dead.
The man's in office. Four people are dead. Cool.
With all that stuff, you know. Point blank, you see the Republicans. What did they? They didn't even want to spend no more money to put no more people there.
That's a lie too. But anyway,
and just like,
you're gonna have to wait till the other side now because I got news and stuff to go to. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. And my friend Ronald called in. I called him up, but anyway, we'll see you back on the other side. I hope you argue with me then, son. I need to talk to you.
I'll call 550 is me.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. Authorities have released information left behind in a suicide note from brother Stephen Baker, who was accused of molesting students at schools in Warren, Ohio, and Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Baker wrote, "I'm sorry for what I did to the church." Baker stabbed himself in the chest at a monastery in Johnstown. A woman has died after she was helped from a burning apartment in Boardman Monday morning. 45-year-old Shauna Carney died at St. Elizabeth Health Center. Flames were already shooting through the roof of the three-story structure before firefighters were able to get there. Ohio's governor is planning an online town hall session Thursday evening on education. Governor John Kasich says in social media messages that the 6 p.m. session will discuss shaping learning for opportunity and success. He says education leaders will be on the panel, and he encourages the public to submit questions on his Facebook page or through Twitter. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. See your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer and check out America's freshest lineup of vehicles, like the 2013 Focus. Get a great value with attractive lease or cashback options. For details, visit driveoneohio.com.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number. 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassatech.com.
We really need jobs. We've just got to get the corruption out of our government.
The biggest problem we have is ignorance.
Tune to News Talk 600 for the latest local and national news. Only on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Afghanistan has often been called the graveyard of empires. The British failed in three separate wars to subdue Afghanistan. The Soviet army was pushed out of Afghanistan by the Mujahideen in the 1980s. And now America is fighting an army of terrorist madmen who will have no qualms about fighting us for the next 100 years. No qualms about shooting at our troops from behind every mosque, behind every rock, and every cave in that country.
Youngstown's home for Michael Savage on News Talk 600, WSOM. 1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600, WSOM.
You know what, Matt, I don't know, but I want to know whether the KKK and the Socialist Party supported Barack Obama as well. I think it was just the American Socialist Party that they supported him. But I need my other people, Ben and Sticks and them, to co-sign that one. You heard that mishmash there, didn't you, Matt? Matt, where you at? My callers are just so unruly. Okay, I'll wait till they come back. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. Here in WSOM 600 AM on iHeartRadio and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. And we're here to talk to you about what's on your mind. Give me a call here at 1-347-945-5229. This is what gets me about this. My friend, who I love him dearly, he's a good man, hardworking man, you know, upstanding guy. But he is caught up in the mindset of the rest of the community that because their side did it, they don't give a doggone what happened. They don't care that the ambassador and four Navy SEALs and even one set of guys that came anyway when they were told to stand down to defend the embassy there. They love the country more than they love the people running the country. Now, that one doesn't come out very often either. And that's what ticks me off more than anything. That's why I'm ticked off, because it's a matter of principle. You want to get on George Bush because somebody waterboarded somebody to get information to save our behinds, but you don't care whether Hillary Clinton didn't send reinforcements to guard the embassy and got our ambassador killed. The same thing that the inept Mr. Jimmy Carter did 30-something years before. Yes, it was under Jimmy Carter's rule that we had an ambassador killed. Understand that when this ilk of people take control, they are inept at running things a certain way because they don't use common sense. They use ideological sense. And ideological sense, if the ideology does not work, will not work for you. This is foolishness.
You know what, too, Jeff? I find it funny that people are calling out, like the gentleman said earlier, about using a Glenn Beck argument. But yet we watched Jay Carney, we watched Barack Obama, we watched Hillary Clinton, we watched Leon Panetta all tell about 5 or 6 different stories each about what happened there. And then you listen to the actual people that were on the ground there, the ones who escaped, saying that there were people on the roof painting targets with lasers, and those people were obviously waiting for something because they were told something was coming, and nothing happened. So there was a total breakdown with the leadership on our, in America, the leadership deals between one of those people, other than Jay Carney, that I mentioned, Hillary Clinton, Leon Panetta, or Barack Obama. The generals underneath them don't act unless they have orders from one of those people.
Exactly. And that was what was so telling about this particular situation, is because, you know, you had the ability to stop it. It wouldn't have caused any international incident. It's like they fail-safed our embassy over there. That's what it's like. You remember the movie Failsafe, where we took out one of Russia's cities, so we had to allow them to take out one of ours? That's the thing that this seemed like to me. This was crazy. But what is the goal and the aim? See, what is the goal and the aim? He got elected landslide, more or less. So now, look at this. How in the heck do you allow your guy to go down because you don't want to make it look like Al-Qaeda is still in business in that area? because you've been going out on the campaign trail talking about how much they have done to dismantle Al-Qaeda, and they're on the run, and Osama bin Laden is dead, and Al-Qaeda is dismantled. No, they are not. You have thrown a rock at a beehive, is what you've done. And not only that, your inept policy of the Arab Spring has destabilized all the power of the Middle East, and you don't know what to do now because you know that they are gaining strength in certain parts of North Africa. And that means that they could at any time join forces if one of these nations gets a nuclear weapon that you don't want to have one. I heard Kerry talking real big about, you know, about him, that we're not going to allow Iran to get a weapon. Well, what are you going to do to not let that happen?
He's going to offer him cotton candy and lollipops.
That's what it seems like, you know, Matt, and that's the problem that I have. And this is the thing that's really, really got me, because it doesn't matter what they do. People don't care because they said, my side won. Your side didn't really win. You promised people that didn't have anything or had very little a lot of things, and they came out and voted for you. They didn't have any idea what you were saying about putting in, and they don't know that it's going to really hurt them worse than it hurts everybody else.
And I tell people that a lot, too. I said, before they come for me, they're coming for you, not
That's
you.
That's right.
But you know who I'm talking about, because they respect me. They know that I see the clear picture. They're going to go after the people that are sitting there with their hands out praising, you know, the left right now. That's the people are going to go after first, because they're weak.
Right. I agree. But, you know, and like I said, you're not going to do anything against this situation unless you get down to business, unless you grow up in the world about what you can and cannot do, or what somebody else is going to be allowed to do or not to do. And that's what you're not doing. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. Economically, we're in trouble. And then we're steadily promising people more and more things. We're getting ready to add 11 million people on. I think I looked at the news clip, and I guess President Obama is supposed to speak at 2:55 today. So he's going to come in on the last of the situation. And I guess this is live stream White House or news for Obama immigration speech live. But they're going to make this big announcement, then he's going to go and start messing with things that's going to hurt very bad. That's what's going to happen. Don't nobody understand that. Ronald, you don't know what you don't understand that. And I understand. You like what's going on right now because primarily it's a black man doing it. But your health care hasn't been touched because yours is a GM health care. And you don't even have, you guys got a pardon to not be in that system. Well, so what does that mean? That means you don't have to go through the mess that the rest of us are going through right now, where our co-pays have gone up double, where our deductibles have doubled, and our formularies have been readjusted for medicines that we've had on them all this time. They're not on them anymore, or they cost a lot more to get now, because they changed the structure. So you not having to worry about that, huh? So it's okay with you, but it's not okay with me. It's not okay with me.
Especially when we're paying for it, Jeff. I mean, you got to realize, and a lot of people say that GM has paid off their debt to the American people for bailing them out. That is so far from the truth, it's almost to laugh at.
Absolutely.
Like it or not, I've heard people try to downplay and say that, you know, things like the like TARP and like these programs that bailed these companies out didn't add to the national debt. Well, yes, it did add to the national debt, and I ain't seen it tick down one bit. So, yeah, GM is still on the hook
for
the American people, and we're paying for that health care that they are able to skate by the government and not have to pay those extra amounts and get the crappy health care that we're going to have to deal with.
That's the whole thing, and like I said, I'm recording sessions of House so people can so I can sell them to people that are sick, and I can figure out, look, this was on House 1 week. Maybe this is what's wrong with you. Because you're not going to be getting a doctor real quick, and that's for sure. And, you know, they already had in the paper last week about how we're running low on doctors. And, you know, it's something. I don't understand. I really don't understand. And so, you know, it. I don't know. What else can I say? I'm not ready to throw in the towel. 440. If you want to talk, you just hit the number one, and I'll know you're in the queue. I'm not ready to throw in the towel. I believe that we're salvageable. You know, I really do. And so I'm not upset about that, but I am very concerned about where we're at, and I'm very concerned about what where we are going and where we could go. You can't attack one news agency. Why aren't you big enough to handle your news agency? And you're going to throw out a barb talking about Fox News is the only news that has talked against the people in the House working with you, when you know it's a lie. When you know that every time that they come to work with you, you take back what you offered at first and then you add something else to the pile. You're lying. South Carolina, your mic is open. We only got a minute.
Yeah, they're lying. Lying through their teeth. But the problem is, Jeff, you know, we believe everything we see on TV. I mean, you know, I'm looking at some things over the past 4 or 5 months and just looking at what got play on TV, especially the mainstream media.
Yeah, you may get interrupted, so don't worry.
Oh, yeah. And what didn't get play? And it's sad. It really is sad that people have just bought into it. It doesn't make any sense. None whatsoever.
I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. When you have a class, when you've separated the country by class and lied about it, here's the thing. You lied because you... Here we go. Be right back.
Hey, South Carolina, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's good. Where's Stanley at? Where's my man Stanley? After the guy at the end of the show yesterday, Stanley's back on my Christmas card, well, holiday card list.
What happened? I missed it.
Oh, you were there at the end?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. The guy from wherever he was from, the local guy, talking about gun control.
Right, talking about gun control, and then that wacko called in dropping the F-bomb. And the gun control guy's like, oh, see what how the right thinks off of one guy who you could tell was not completely educated on things. And that really ticked me off.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, man. I've heard more F-bombs been dropped from this administration than ever before. I mean...
That's true, absolutely.
Joe Biden... is the king of the F-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big effing deal, man.
Right, but that doesn't count because he was off mic, so he's still a saint in the left side.
Yeah, he's a saint, all right. Yep.
I just found it ironic how one caller calls in, and you could tell Tracy was kind of struggling with the guy. And he says what he says and talks about, you know, what do you say, you know, we need to take over the White House and things of that nature. And everybody disagreed with it. But yet the guy calls everybody on the show out saying, see, this is the way you guys think. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, man. You're part of a group where that came out on Twitter by the thousands and called for the assassination by gunfire against the NRA members. You know, it complete hypocrisy.
And Sarah Palin puts up a bullseye. And you want to say she's trying to kill the president?
It's freaking funny, man. It's funny.
Well, I just kind of look at him and shake my head because, you know, everything is okay as long as they're doing it.
Right. And they can lie all they want. That was. Did you listen to the beginning of the show?
No, I haven't gotten into the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I told Jeff. I go. You know, we got people that are like Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, who said that she got off a helicopter or an airplane in Afghanistan or Iraq, one of those two, and said that she was under heavy gunfire and had to run for her life. You remember that?
Are you serious?
You don't remember hearing? Yeah, Google that. It'll come right up. She said she was under heavy gunfire. She's saying it. She actually said it, so you should be able to YouTube it or something. And then it was called out that in fact, didn't happen. And not, you know, 2 days later, she goes, oh, I misspoke. You misspoke about being under heavy gunfire? That you were running for your life? Really? But yet she's the Secretary of State, and she's, you know, sunshine and lollipops. I don't know.
A head of state under fire, and that's okay. All right, gotcha.
Yeah, check that out. You'll laugh. I mean, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. It's ridiculous.
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, there was a Covina man was in the chat room, and he was talking about Reagan killed some 250 Marines over in Beirut, and let's just get it out there, okay? As a United States Marine, we have a set of orders that we follow that tells us when we can engage with deadly force, and that's called the rules of engagement. And under the rules of engagement, we cannot engage the enemy. As a matter of fact, the rule of engagement tells us if we can have magazines or rounds in the magazines or rounds in the weapon, and when and how and under what circumstances can we chamber a round, and when and how we can actually return fire. And those are pretty strict rules. I mean, you can get a NJP, which is a non-judicial punishment, for an accidental firing of a weapon. You can lose a strike for that.
Right.
And so at that point in time, we had weapons, we had magazines, we didn't have rounds. So that's how that happened.
And didn't, like the other guy just brought, Green Dog just brought this up too, and this is what I thought it was too. That was from an explosion, correct?
Yeah. What happened was somebody drove a truck through the blockade at the front gate and blew up the barracks. And that's when the military changed how they had access to the base, and you couldn't drive in and directly. You had to go around the barricades. You know, a guy couldn't take a straight shot and just go through him. He hit one of the barricades. And we started using one of those, I can't remember what those things are called, but they have spikes on them to keep them from getting in. And yeah. And
yeah,
so,
I
you
mean,
know, it was, it was,
you can't bring that up without bringing up Fort Hood either, you know, and that's things like that are going to happen. I'm not talking about a Marine barracks or whatever. I'm talking about, you know, if you want to talk about how somebody runs a military, I'm talking about in combat. That's what I'm talking
okay.
about. In my opinion, and this is my opinion from what I saw, we came to a quote-unquote stalemate in Vietnam because of the policies of Johnson listening to the public, you know, crying and bitching about what's going on, and he actually formed a lot of that military strategy around what the public was telling him.
There you go.
To look 100%. Popular. Right. So,
listen, My job in the Marine Corps, I dealt with radios, radio communications, radars, and so on and so forth. And when you look at maps, you see that there is a clear corridor to Hanoi. Okay? There, if you were to take 13 or 14 F-4s back then, F-4, A-4, A-6s, EA-6s to knock down EA-6 Bravos to knock down the radar and just go on a straight line, you could have blown up Hanoi and the war would have been over. The war would have been over.
Quickly it would have happened, absolutely.
The war could have been over in back then. The war, World War II and the Cold War and Korean War, Korean conflict could have been avoided if they would have done what MacArthur said. We should have kept marching straight on to Russia.
Right, absolutely.
Because,
the rules of engagement are killing us, and they get worse and worse as the years pass.
Yeah. MacArthur knew, and this is one of the things he said. He said Stalin was Hitler's ally. Their deal was to split up Poland, and he knew this. But Stalin changed his mind when Hitler attacked Russia. So technically, Hitler and Stalin were best buddies up until, because they were gonna, you know, carve up Europe and so on and so on. They were both socialists.
Right, and I had heard that too.
And
you know what? When you think about it, if you look at FDR back in the day too. He wasn't moving towards war in any way, shape, or form. People were up his butt to go and do something to protect the ally or our allies at the time. He didn't do anything until all of a sudden the world stage turned to Pearl Harbor and he had no other choice. I don't think he went into World War II because to you know, defend the country or defend Pearl Harbor. I think he went into World War II because he had no choice.
He had to grow a set of he had to bring his balls out. That's what it was.
Right, to look good, to look politically correct.
Mm-hmm. Because America was pretty much an isolationist. The guy that ran against him for the presidency was a staunch isolationist until Pearl Harbor. And then after
Who was that? I forgot his name.
I cannot remember.
All right, I'll
look it up.
I know who you're talking about, too.
So now, if you don't want me to stand for what the country used to stand for, that's okay. But you're not going to tell me to be quiet and roll over and let Obama do what he have his way with me. Okay?
Be quiet, Jeff.
That's the point. That is the point.
Yeah, we're during a break.
Anyway,
his name was.
Hold on, we're back. And I got my callers on the line over here. And go ahead, Sal. Give us a little feeling on what you guys are talking about.
Oh, we were talking about the rules of engagement during wartime, and why certain things happen in history. But the last part we were talking about. Franklin Delano Roosevelt and his feelings towards war, and how he was, you know, not willing to go to war up until, you know, Pearl Harbor happened. But the other guy's name that ran against him was Wendell Willkie.
That's it. Thank you, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Jeff, when you're in a situation just like there was a situation that I had been in when I was in the Marine Corps, and it's number one, you're in a hostile environment. Number two, you don't have any weapons. You have your weapon, but the only thing you have is the weapon. You know?
Yeah, they had no.
You got your K bar. You got a two magazine pouches with six magazines. You know, so there's nothing you can do except for give the guy a horizontal butt stroke, you know, or a vertical butt stroke, and hope he doesn't have an AK-47 and going to shoot at you. The rules of engagement were you could not have rounds, you could have your weapons, you could have your magazines. If a hostile act had occurred, then you could have your weapon. You could have your magazines with rounds in your magazines, but you could not lock and load until you were given, you know, the clear sign to lock and load. And that's the thing that people don't understand, you know. It's just like you're in a hostile zone and your life is on the line and you're following orders. So I don't get it. And see, that's what I really do think that all males, once they get out of high school, they need to spend some good quality time with Uncle Sam, okay, so they can understand what it means to be in the military, what it means to have to serve their country, you know, and know what it's like being, you know, in that type of environment, because right now they don't know. They don't know. Parents aren't teaching them any type of discipline. Somebody's got to do it. I'd much rather have Uncle Sam do it than have all those able-bodied individuals learning some discipline. You know, I'll send them all to Paris Island. You know, one way on, one way off. You guys want to go?
Well.
I've been there. I'll give you a tour.
Well, you know what? That's what they do. That's what they do to you, Doc. Is they keep you in a certain place. People don't remember that George Bush wanted to get into Iraq a year before we actually went, and the House and the Senate held him out.
Yeah,
and he said we can't hold this any longer because we're going to miss our window of opportunity with the weather. Because once the snow is on the ground, we're not going to be able to maneuver. Yeah, right. And they dogged him and they held him up. And even though Colin Powell tried to tell him, watch out because these weapons, you know, we've seen several convoys traveling along certain roads leading down into Syria. And we're concerned that they might take some of these things away. Now, it's stupid for people to argue this with us. When we know that historically we supported Iraq in a war against Iran for 10 years, and when the war was over, we didn't go in there and take all our weapons away from him. We knew he had weapons of mass destruction because we gave them to him, and we secured his oil supply, and we kept Iran in check. Because Iran is the aggressor and was the aggressor ever since they moved out the Shah, which was our guy, in the late 70s. Wait a minute.
Why do we do that? I mean, I got to ask an idiot question because I don't understand why we put things in place and then dumb about what the place is. You know what I mean? Come on now. We put them in, they change their minds, and we put them out. We trust them again, we put them in, we give them weapons. I mean, right now we're getting ready to send weapons over to the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, and this
not
is
a good
not,
idea.
This is not the first president to send weapons overseas. I'm not quite sure if I can understand the mindset of why we ship stuff in, knowing good and well. It's like a battered wife, but they're not your friend. He don't love you.
It's like picking one bully over the other. And that's the whole situation. You think the one bully might be a little, because he lives closer to you, or, you know, you guys have a little tie, that he might not, you know, he might not beat you up and take your lunch money.
But when do we, I mean, seriously, I'm
very serious.
When do we realize that we need to become who we are and quit trying to be what everyone else wants us to be and then stand on our own 2 feet and be that?
Because you can't be that when you have oil coming through the Strait of Hormuz and through the Suez Canal.
Okay, let's go to the oil. We're talking about energy. We have energy. The energy is our energy, and we have our own domestic energy, but we yet don't want to deal with their energy. We want to deal with our energy instead of becoming energy dependent or independent, should I say.
Right.
Why? I'm just looking at the comments. Maybe I'm too common sense for this, but I'm just trying to understand, why do we do it that way and we don't become energy independent when we have the resources, we have the natural gas, we have the technology, we have the innovation, yet we sell it abroad. We take our guns, we sell them abroad. We do all this abroad and then wonder why they come back and fight us with what we have.
Because they have to. Well, that's the whole thing. They do that.
Well, do they not? I mean, I've yet to see not anyone come back and say, you know what, we're going to leave. Yes?
What you've got is you've got politicians trying to run a war.
The bottom line is
if you let generals run a war, things would be a lot different. 100%. If Emperor Hirohito, the politician, and his council would have listened to Admiral Tojo, they never would have invaded the United States.
Right.
They wouldn't have done it.
So if we all know that if you know your history, you may not repeat it again, duh.
Well, Tracy, here's the thing. And Jeff, I'm pretty sure you know it, and Matt, you probably know some guys like this too. There were certain guys you knew that you did not want to fight, okay? Because you knew if you wanted to fight, there was not going to be no timeout. There was not going to be the hold up, man, you hurt me. It was going to be on until it was over. All right? Those are the guys you didn't want to fight. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it should be with the United States military. If you attack us, it's over when we say it's over. You know? But they don't, politicians don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. You must get out there and crush your enemy. And folks say, man, that's kind of rough and brutal, isn't it? Yes, it's rough and brutal. There's nothing rough. There's nothing nice about war.
Well, you know what? It's more rough and brutal if you allow it to continue. Like
if you allow it,
more people wind up dying.
Exactly.
So here I go again.
My thing is, hey, nuke them till they blow. Shoot them in the dark.
Did you ever play the game called Risk?
Risk.
No, I'm an only child.
Okay.
You got to play that game. It
I was young. No,
I'm an only child. You can't play Risk by yourself.
Well, yeah, but I didn't play with my
I'm an only child.
Siblings. I played with my friends.
They didn't play that either.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, but Risk is a really good game. And it gives you an idea of what they're doing. You have to understand that when you go into another country, and you make business deals with that country because of something they have that you want and vice versa. You're trying to tie them up into an agreement, a contract more or less, so that they don't have a negative thing. They're making covenant with other nations is what they're doing. And then when somebody is able, see, you can't make a covenant with a Muslim nation, and this is why. The Muslims are allowed to lie to the infidel. They can kill the infidel, they can murder, they can blow up infidel's children. They can shoot infidels down in the street because it doesn't matter.
It's not considered a lie.
There's nothing wrong with it because they're infidels and they're fit to be burned, killed and burned. That's it. If they have not bowed the knee to Allah. So therefore, you don't have really, unless you use might and money, you don't have a thing that you can do.
But what I'm saying is we're supposed to be smarter than fifth graders.
Yeah.
Okay, so why are we dumb as rocks?
Because somebody messes up and does the wrong thing.
No, Jeff.
You're trying to take politics, Tracy.
But that's what I'm saying. If you know I mean, come on now. Study tells you that they realize that you are an infidel. They can lie to you. We know that. We know the human nature of a person that if you give them too much, they will take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we continue to do the same thing over and over again, whether it be with entitlement programs, whether it be with our national security, whether it be with our foreign policy, whether it be with our amnesty program.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just learn from our mistakes, stand up on our own two feet, and quit being dumb?
Because, well, go ahead, Sal, or Matt, whichever one of you.
Well, it's called being a politician. When you're a politician,
I'm a politician.
You are not a politician. You are a public servant. That's all. Let's get that straight right now, okay? A politician is a person that will try to kiss your baby, and when your head is turned, he's trying to steal your baby's candy.
So can I ask you why we keep on putting
these?
Okay, so why? So let's go back to the dummies of America. Then why keep on putting these people in office?
No, well.
Because they keep telling us that Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson speak for us. They keep telling us like people like Piers Morgan have had his hand on the pulse of America. They keep telling us Bill Maher is politically, he's a political genius.
You got me on that one, man. I got to take a break. I can't take it. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you. With your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accepted.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the pool couple of.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassetech.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com, or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we are back once again, afternoon with Tracy and Friends, sowing hate and discord all across the nation and across the world on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends, because we bark and balk against the system, ladies and gentlemen. We don't play this, and we're not playing these games that they're doing to us here. And so we're talking about what's on our mind and listening to you about what's on your mind. And I got Matt in South Carolina in the box. We're talking about immigration. We're talking about how the government is running amok and all of that good stuff. So what do you do? What do you do with that? I don't know. But what I'll say is...
I do.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, Jeff and Tracy, I was brainstorming and thought about something, because this is something that's kind of confusing me. If gay, being gay, according to the news media, and according to all these folks that know more than I do, if being gay is the same thing as being black, then isn't being black a sin?
Well, you know that was a huge teaching for the longest time. That black people were cursed as a result, and they were destined to be servants because of the story of Noah getting drunk, and it says that was it Ham, or I forget who was, uncovered his nakedness, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan," for. Ham did it, but he said, "Cursed be Canaan." He cursed his grandson, and that actually did come to pass.
That was before DNA. Before they figured out and found out that, hey, all of y'all was black at one point in time.
At one point, everybody, okay, everybody, and to tell you the truth, the people that messed. Well, see, I can't get into all of that stuff. But the people that messed up the bloodline were not humans, and so we have to take that with a grain of salt, and for those that can deal with that, look it up.
Let's do a show on that.
You know what I got? You know what, Matt? I'm going to send you a link. I want you to listen to this, I'm going to send you a link. I forgot about you when I sent this out. That you could get to this stuff. But, you know, there's some people that are trying, under the healthcare law, they're going to take DNA from everybody. And they're going to have a DNA map and marking for every human being in the United States that come under that health care system. You're going to be required to give it up.
You know what's scary about that, other than, well, it's scary just on the surface, but if you combine that with all the technologies coming out, have you heard of these Google Glasses?
Go ahead. No.
You never heard of Google Glasses? You know, Google it. Honestly,
I will.
These are glasses that you can put on, and it gives recognition to people just by looking at them as to who they are, draw you into their accounts and everything, and things of that nature. When you get into that, plus this DNA thing you're talking about with the DNA bank, you got to wonder where this country's going or where the world's going. That's just crazy.
I don't wonder.
Yeah, neither do I, but I understand. You know, I do understand. It's crazy because when you have leaders such as what we have right now, they will use that to their advantage, no doubt. And that's what you really have to guard against, because they're going to take advantage of it. You know, how is it that, you know, from George Bush, where you were able to detain somebody that was talking to terrorists abroad, and if they caught you or suspected you of that, they could arrest you until they investigated. Where now, up under President Obama, that law has changed to where they don't need you to be talking to a terrorist. They don't need you to be doing anything. They can take anybody, United States citizen or no, and hold them indefinitely. This isn't the Homeland Security bill. This is one of the rules in that bill that they passed. Both sides of the House and Senate passed it. This is crazy. You don't give somebody that much power over the people. You don't need to have that much power over the people to shut down the terrorist. All you need to do is control your borders better. Now, you want to have drones patrolling the borders every day and night. That's something different. Let's do that. That makes sense. But no, you're sitting up there, and you're going to allow them to arrest you. So they could come in this radio station right now and say, you're being subversive to the president. I'm going to shut you down and take me away.
Yeah, patrolling American suburbia is more important than the borders where the government sells their guns to.
Sells their guns to and get people killed in the process. That's the craziness of this. That's what we're talking about. That's what people are afraid of and concerned about, and that's why they don't want anybody taking the right for them to own their guns. Do you understand that, people? You know, I don't know. I wish my gun nut guy would call back. I'd sure like to talk to him, you know. But, you know, these are the things that we here in America are dealing with. We're dealing with that. And what does it do for us? I don't know. Talk to me.
I do.
Where'd Tracy go?
She's handling something. She's right here. She'll be in a minute.
You sound lonely.
She's on. No. I'm really very, very put out about things right now. I'm upset, and I'm upset first of all because of this, that people are stupid. I don't want to call them stupid, but they're ignorant and they trust people. Why they trust them, I don't know. If the government gave their own people LSD to see how it would affect them, gave their own people syphilis, we don't know what else they've given us that we don't know that they gave us.
Well,
I don't take a flu shot.
Well, if they did, I already got it. So after the number of years I spent in the Marine Corps, whatever they're going to give us, they're going to give it. They already gave it to me. It's in my system now.
Tina Turner just left the country, you know.
More power to her.
Yeah, I don't blame her. I do not blame her. She's leaving the country. You know why? Because these foolish laws of let's get the rich. How are you going to get the rich? How are you?
We had a golfer doing the same thing. I forgot his name. Left-handed golfer.
Mickelson.
Yeah, right, Mickelson. He's
yeah.
talking about doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know.
Tina Turner's gone, and soon Tiger Woods. Thank God for Tiger telling the truth.
Tiger ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, Tiger already did. He said, I left California for this reason. Hey,
he left for another woman.
My question is,
got a new girl.
Is she black?
No, she's not.
She ain't black.
No, she's not. I saw her.
Tracy.
What? I'm trying to get, find a dude. I came in here with gray hair to see if I can get an old cat this time. Is Tiger Wood available?
Tiger Wood just settled down again.
He is dating an Olympic skier. Okay?
Is she black?
No. Olympic
Come
skier?
Come on, Tracy. Olympic skier?
You ever seen a black Olympic skier before?
It takes an act of Congress for black people to play three sports. Skis, snow ski, hockey, and golf.
Hold on, Tracy.
For the longest time, you had Calvin Peet, Lee Elvis, and then Tiger Woods came along, okay?
Okay.
But there ain't no way that black people were going to go around a bunch of white boys with sticks in their hands, okay? And on ice.
With points on them.
Yeah. There ain't no.
Now you see, we got quite a few black ice hockey players now.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, well, I remember the first one I ever saw was Tony McKegney.
I gotta call the Phantom, the what do they call them? Phantom?
Yeah, downtown.
Mm-hmm. We got a couple hockey players here.
Yeah, got a couple African Americans.
They got great calves, yeah?
Check this out, guys.
What?
You guys are called the NLRB thing, okay?
What's that called? NLRB?
National Labor Relations Board, when they chewed up Boeing here in the state of South Carolina and told Boeing that they could not have the other plant and so on and so forth, and they made that agreement.
Yeah.
With Boeing.
Yeah.
Guess what? The agreement is nullified. It is no longer in existence because the NLRB, because of the ruling, the NLRB, when they made that ruling, Obama appointed those people when he appointed them, he didn't have the authority to appoint them, so therefore any action that the National Labor Relations Board took is hereby nullified.
Wow.
Wow.
So Boeing is clear to come in?
Boeing is clear to come in. There's nothing they can do.
That should have been the case in the first place. It was ridiculous otherwise.
What else is going to happen? They said the NLRB has set policies concerning things like mortgages and anything that they have done in the year and a half that these guys have been in there has been nullified by the people.
Hey, fellas, this is just for the fellas, not you. You're not a fellow.
Oh.
This is Tiger's new girlfriend.
Yeah.
Fellas.
She looked like the last one.
Fellas. Hey!
They're gone.
Matt!
What?
Yeah, we're here. We're listening. Yeah, we're listening. You
Tiger's new girlfriend?
Uh-huh. Where?
Irish.
She's pretty hot, man.
Irish.
She's pretty hot,
she
though.
Her
name is Lindsay Vaughn, and she's
Lindsay Vaughn.
She's a passer.
She's a hottie.
She's a passer.
Yeah, well, what do you mean, pastor?
She's a black
girl. Let me ask you. Can I ask a question, being the token white guy here?
Yeah, token. Go ahead.
All right. So we have Tiger Woods, who is – people look up to him in the black community, no?
No. They admire his golf skills. He's not looked up to like a Magic Johnson or a Michael Jordan. He doesn't have that kind of kudos.
Even his compatriots, his father's in golf, he's not.
No, he's not. You know, he's not looked up to. He's not endeared like Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the latest escapade with him, is that what it is?
No.
No, because he don't want to be black.
He told him out the gate
he wasn't black.
He cocko Belasian.
He told him out the gate, don't look up to me because I'm not one of you. He said that straight up.
All right. Okay. Well, then let me rephrase my question here. All right. So, what finds? I've seen a lot of black people say Tiger. That's our man. You know, he's black. He's in golf. He's in the white. I've seen all those things. But yet, I hear people call all of you out for being traitors to your race because you're conservative.
That's different. You can marry white. You just can't marry Republican.
Yeah.
Except if you.
All right. Now I get it.
Okay, you got to get it that way. If you become free, when I had the guy on here called Runaway Slave, see when the slave left the plantation, the master was looking for him, and so was the people who were left on the plantation.
You know what they would do to you? They would come. The slaves would turn your butt in, have you strung up, and would stand there.
Hey, I gotta go to break. I gotta shut this down. I'll be right back.
Well, South Carolina, it's too bad that you all's views do not represent a runaway slave at all. So if y'all think y'all are runaway slaves,
well, what's
I don't
a runaway
know what
slave?
Definition.
Can you explain that to me?
Well, I guess the first part of it has more to do with his resentment for the slave master and his plantation and his process. That's the first part of it. That's the depth of it.
Oh, wait a minute. Listen, let me tell you something, man.
Whoa. He asked me a question, man.
Don't throw me in that category now, because that's not correct.
Really, what Tracy and them represent, they think that, was this Matt?
Yes, sir.
Asked me the question. Well, I'll let you know a little secret, man. Tracy and them don't know this. But what they've done, they think they runaway slave, but they ran out of one plantation and ran to another one. Now, don't tell them that, man. It'll crush them. But they're not runaway slaves.
Well, you kind of got to explain that, because when you're talking about from one plantation to another plantation.
Matt, don't buy into that, man. No.
Should I just shut up and go find some beer? Is that what I'm hearing?
No. You're wrong there, man.
I guess. Michigan, you know I love you. You are the brother in chief, I got to tell you, man. You know how to come in, poke, and get the hell out of the way. I love it.
I'm just listening. I wasn't going to call in until Tracy brought that statement up about the runaway slave. She really thinks she is, but she's not. But that's
well, cool. To me, here's the thing. So you're saying that it's relative to what you're looking at. I say that I left the plantation a long time ago, and it's really a sad situation when I look at people that say that I'm the one that's brainwashed, when I can clearly see, you know, what happened, why it happened, and look at who it's happening to, and I'm the one that's being told that I'm the one that's misled.
Right,
and that's
great. I think there's no mistake about it that some of what you guys, how you assess stuff is absolutely correct. Now, that's a no-brainer. And most of the people who say that, it's because, again, they're not looking through the same lens of how you assess, you know, certain issues.
The thing that gets me is, you know,
And the number is 347-945-5229. Jeff is leaving me, and I want to thank him for sitting in for me while I went to Rotary and had some fun there and did some stuff.
I got work to do, baby.
You got work to do. Matt was in there. Looks like Chicago, Michigan man's in there. Michigan man, how are you, darling?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I see. I feel kind of two-faced because I was just talking about you.
Why were you talking about
Matt? He was giving Matt an education. I'm gonna let him explain. I'm gonna back off.
What are you saying?
Trying to explain to Matt.
Matt,
hey,
come back here.
Let me say this. I was talking about you and Jeff. Now Matt didn't participate, nor did South Carolina, but they didn't stop me either.
What were you saying about me?
I
got a recording. So you might as well tell me.
You still there, Matt?
No, Matt. His something happened to his connection, and he dropped out. He said he'll call right back in. So now, what were they saying? What did you say? What did you say?
Oh, I told Matt that you all believe that you are runaway slaves. I said I told him what you guys really are though is you ran off of one plantation and ran to another one. And you think you're free. And I told him he couldn't tell y'all that because it would crush you.
But can I ask you a question about that? You know, because I had a conversation this morning and, you know, about race and racism and trying to curb it. Have we really run from one plantation to another? Or are we running in circles because those of us who are there don't realize that we're free? Because everything is not race-based, even though it's systemic to the... Because everybody's indoctrinated to this American system. It is what it is. But everything is not race-based, not as we would think. And are we not using race as a crutch? And are we not using... Because I should not allow you not liking me to stop me from what I have to do.
That's true.
You know, I know that you don't like me, and I know that you hate me. But, you know, my mom told me that while I had my head in the lion's mouth, I ought to pet it and not slap him. And so even if I am in a racist society, I'm in a European society, even if I'm in the worst society that is on the continent of the earth, why should I not capitalize on that and move forward? Because, see, I see people using race, and they use money, and they use feminism, and they use all this as crutches. And instead of using crutches, we ought to use them as stairs.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think it's just about, like you said, it's about knowing the system and trying to maneuver. Well, that's really all you can do, or give up, you know. So you try to maneuver as best you can. I think everything is race-based. This is my view. I think it stems from race, but I don't think that's a bad thing. We'll probably have a different definition, you know, of racism. I actually don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's natural for things to stem from race. There's nothing you could show me or tell me that would make me think anything different from that because all the evidence says it.
Because, see, when they ask me a question just like, you know, Matt asked about, you know, Tiger Woods, you know, Tiger Woods does not identify as black, and he's come out and said it. I say the same thing about President Barack Obama, but nobody believes me. Because when you're raised in that kind of society, you're really not, you don't identify like, you know, you might identify your race as black. But as far as you identifying with the black life in America, it's totally different. There's no way. There's really no way that you can actually say that being raised in a European, a white household. There's a reason why Tiger does not do black girls.
I understand that.
I mean, there's a reason.
There's a reason.
I mean, and I was watching Soledad O'Brien when she was doing What's Black in America the other night. And I said to my mom, this was useless. But, you know, there were black girls who don't identify as black, and there were black girls who didn't identify as white. And then some of them didn't identify with either one. My question is, when do we start using these peripherals? If you don't want to deal with me, then I will deal with myself, but I'm still not going to let you hold me down. And my problem that I have is I'm free just to be me. Yes, I'm black in America, but if I really allowed my circumstances to stop me, I would go up in a corner somewhere, find me a pipe, and check out like everybody else.
Yeah, but you know, well, see, well, but Tracy, if you look at the thing about it though, Tracy, I think if you look at it from a say a war perspective or a game perspective, and I know life ain't no it is a game and it ain't, but when you, particularly when you got an opponent, you know, making the correct assessment itself is not a crutch. That's the first thing. That's not a crutch. Making the correct assessment is not a crutch. It appears that's kind of what you think a crutch is, making the correct assessment about
that's
this culture.
No, but see, we're not making a correct assessment because what we're doing is we're allowing society, that you say, to identify us and limit us. See, we've allowed the conditioning of society, instead of to thrust us forward, we've allowed us to hold us back. Because
see, I don't think that's a correct assessment. I would disagree. I just don't see how you're able to draw that conclusion. I don't know.
The reason why
the
reason why I draw that conclusion is because even though what's going on around me doesn't stop me from treating my neighbor who looks like me right, and even if I don't like my neighbor treating my family right, it doesn't stop me as a parent from correcting my child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking this morning, and I'm bringing this up, and they're doing a panel on race, and I said, if you're going to do it, I hope you're going to be honest about it, because I'm tired of talking about race and racism in America, getting a warm fuzzy, walking out the door, and everybody lying. Because unless we're going to be honest about race and racism in America, then we need to all shut up. Because racism does not make me to disrespect my parents, nor does it stop my parents from not wanting me to get an education.
Well, it's just going to be a dog and pony show unless there's someone in there who can clearly identify the cultural, how would you say, institutions or instances where everything is developed from race out.
But listen,
and
but
then
this is what
there is no, I mean, from there, if you start from there, where there, even if a person wants to disagree, but the facts will be there, so you can start there. If you get into this name calling about black skin and white skin,
no, listen, I'm talking about the simple conversation of being honest enough to say, you know what, I really don't care what you think about me, Michigan. So if it hurts me, I'm going to be stronger. And if it encourages me, I'm going to build on it. But I'm not going to let you limit me, because that's how it was in the past. If you listen to the old folks talk, they did not allow, and I'm talking about the old folks who are 80 and above. Because if you really want to know the truth about it, how they were treated, they should have checked out a long time ago. If anybody ought to be on crack in America, it ought to be our grandparents. Because they went through what we call straight up hell. South Carolina.
Tracy.
For sure, they did. 100%.
That's what I'm saying. So,
let me tell you.
I'm listening, Bianchi.
You are absolutely right. Them damn race conferences is nothing but a waste of time. And you're talking about going around in circles. Whenever you come back. Whenever you turn upon an event that's either talking about race conferences or public schools, you know you have circled the wagon one more time.
What I'm getting to when we talk about Tiger Woods, you know, I look at Tiger Woods and you know, they slammed him to the ground, treated him like a black man. He still ain't stood up and said I'm black, because he's the only athlete I've ever seen come and apologize for having affairs.
Well,
like
Tiger Woods is a product of his environment. And that's why I have arguments with some black nationalists talking about, well, the Moors was black. Well, those people were a product of their environment. If they were to see you today, they probably wouldn't want to have nothing to do with you.
But you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look at Tiger Woods came out and apologized to America for having an extramarital affair on his wife. Like he was a public official that was elected.
Well, it's like the delusion about this. What Amos Wilson said, he said, well, you know, you have blacks to say, well, I don't see color. And he said, well, idiot, who cares if you see color? You're not in any position to control the affairs of men. So it's not about you seeing color. It's whether or not the people who are in control of determine the affairs of men see color. And
but
that's
the problem
where,
is,
you know, ignorant
but we
blacks
see color.
Oh, I don't see color. Well,
but
who cares
is,
anyway?
This, but see, this is the problem.
Neither here nor there.
But it's not about what they see.
Yeah. Well, that's
the
impetus to getting to the point.
That's what I'm
like,
but see, I don't care
migrant,
what you see.
Huh?
I mean, if I have what you want, I don't care what you see. You're going to pay me for what I got. No matter how you despise me or hate people that look like me, if I have what you want. And you will pay me for it and bite your tongue depending on how bad you want it.
Okay, but that's just pure business, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that's what
we're
talking
okay,
about.
Okay, so let's talk about race in America and how it equates to the economy.
Well, now that's
you
where
really,
you really don't want to go because
do you really?
That's where you can get the okay. See, if you go there, Tracy, and that's why I say you should, then the research draws the conclusions, not your opinion.
But
if
what
you want to talk about race as it relates to business, then
but,
let's just let the
but
research.
Listen, Michigan. Listen, this is what I'm saying. When you jump into this, and when we talk about, see, I don't love myself enough to want to marry somebody that looks like me. So I go out and find me somebody that doesn't look like me, don't care about what they think like me, but I think as long as I marry somebody that doesn't look like me, they'll qualify me as successful. Trophy. Nobody wants to be around my community. And I don't make my community to where it's coveted, to where people want to be where I am. They want my music, they want my clothes, they want my culture, but they definitely don't want to be with me. They
you know,
want my music.
Funny. I don't know of any high-paid athletes that ever go out and marry a black woman, and white athletes that ever go out and marry a black woman. Do you, Tracy?
That's what I'm saying. It's a little bit changing now because, every now and then you find one who just got a black flavor to him no matter what. But outside of that, nobody...
One of the most powerful men in Hollywood married a black woman.
Who?
George Lucas.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You got one that just got a black flavor and he ain't letting it go. But on where I live, you're not gonna find no powerful white men around here dating no black women. Not
well,
too many.
Of course not.
Why not?
Because when he makes a baby with you, he doesn't see himself. I told you this a couple months ago. He doesn't see himself.
Listen to what I'm saying. Come on now. Break it down. I'm 50 years old. You ain't got to worry about me and kids. You can stop that. Yeah. I'm just saying overall, we are not what is coveted.
Of course not.
And Matt, are you there?
Because
you
sure
brought up Tiger Woods.
I did.
You the one that brought this up.
Well,
speak
I brought
up, bro.
It up.
Speak
There's
up.
A- There's kind of a reason I bring it, because I kind of share in these issues, and I think I've mentioned this earlier before. I have a mixed race child. I have a daughter who's mixed race. She's been adopted by me, but we've been going through a lot of these problems as well as far as who she identifies with. I mean, she'll be 21 coming up here shortly. And she literally has. We've had talks about where she identifies and why and where and for what reason and another reason I enjoy all of the aspects of everybody on this show is because it gives me a way to talk to her about it. I don't share. I don't. You know, this is a white family and she happens to be the one that's a mixed race child. And a lot of times I don't know where to come at her except for the friends that I have that are black we're able to go back and forth about, you know, where history is and where she is in the present. So I kind of hold a share in this here, and I love the conversation just because of that. That's why I brought up Tiger Woods.
And there's nothing wrong, and let me say this, Matt. I applaud that, and there's nothing wrong with that. And she doesn't have to identify with black culture to be black in America. But what she has to do is she has to identify how the world is going to identify her when she steps out of your environment.
Right.
You know what? I was in Naps. Naps is the place where I have my hair relocked, retwisted, shall I say. And this white couple, a white female and a man, had a black girl. And the mother brought the little black girl in there to have her hair locked. And the girl was crying, "Mommy, Mommy, I don't want my hair like that. I want my hair like yours." So those things cause some repercussions. And I guess whites who do go out and adopt black children do run into these problems. They don't know what to do.
Not only that, you got white families now, and we need to be open about this so that we can catch everybody at the same time. We have white families now whose daughters have gone out and had babies by black men. And then, you know, they bounce like they do on everybody else. Now they got a black granddaughter and don't know what to do with her.
I had friend, his son and his wife, they adopted during the Haitian problems they were having down there in Haiti. They adopted a Haitian child, a young boy, and they named him McKinley. And I didn't say it, and I said to myself, now you just took this kid out of his history of a Toussaint, a Dessalines, and, you know, that strong history, and you give him a name that's reminding him of American general.
But let me say this to you. Now, if you want to talk about name for a minute, Pianki, throw this in the mix. We need to quit naming our children as black as they sound until we actually become the majority. Shaniqua, because when Shaniqua's name is on a resume, Shaniqua don't get called back for a job.
Oh, that's nothing, Tracy.
You're right about
Nkwada,
that.
Try a name like Nkwada Shaka.
That's what I'm saying. So Shaka Zulu will not get called back as for, you know, you apply for a job and Shaka and Zulu and Shaniqua and all, you won't get called back. I've got a girlfriend who has her master's degree who had to drop her first name and go by her second name because she could not get phone calls back as an executive.
I had here in my school district, we had a teacher. This is a black teacher that told this black child whose name was, you know, had a Muslim name. And she told the child in the classroom, I think she got reprimanded. She said, "Why come your parents didn't name you something that we can pronounce?"
That's what I'm saying. So when you follow this, you got to understand that we need. If you're going to be, as again, you may not subscribe to all the identities of what that America has gone through, and America has done some real dirty, low stuff. That's why we say you should not actually trust the government. Because the government has yet to apologize for slavery. Through all the stuff that they're going through all the immigration, the reform, the amnesty, they have yet to say, "We're sorry for the laws that we put on the books for black codes and for slavery."
And that's mostly just in America. When you come into a white-majority America, you can go into a white Britain. You can go into a white Sweden, Amsterdam. You don't have that problem. You can have your indigenous name, and they recognize it. But only in America.
But you got to go by American rules. And so since we know the rules of America, we need to play by them until you can get to the place to make your own rules. But what's going on now is we're not sitting at the table and we're using racism as a crutch for poverty, for inequality, for lack of financial attainment, for lack of education, where we ought to be pushing for anything that it will take to get us out of the situation that we're in so that we can thrust ourselves into a better future. We should actually have our young ladies actually closing their legs instead of opening them up.
Yeah, you're right. Well,
we ought to have our black men actually lifting our black women up instead of tearing them down and treating them like a piece of meat. And there's no way in the world that we ought to be patronizing some of the hip-hop mess that we have going on here in America, including Beyonce with her naked body on this upcoming Sunday.
Well, you're absolutely right. That's that's just another one of those parts of your culture that you just don't control. It's everybody on the outside.
But the question is, I do control my culture because I control my neighborhood. I control what comes into my neighborhood, and I control what goes out of my neighborhood. But until we take ownership of our own community, and I'm tired of black folks moving out of their communities, going into the suburbs and thinking that they did not come from where they came from. All we do, what we do is we step on our community until we get out of it. And those of us that get out of it don't return back to it, not even for church.
You know what, Tracy? I was going to bring that up last week, actually, when we were talking about what's wrong with some of these communities where it's a mostly black population. And you know, when you're talking about black businesses coming back to raise the black community and support their communities and be successful in business ownership and in things like that. And you're right. That's absolutely what it is. A lot of these people that do wind up hitting the market pretty good and they get rich, they never return to those communities to build up. I mean, there is so much opportunity when you walk into Cleveland or downtown Akron, when you're looking at street corners and you see some of these businesses closed down. But yet, what do you see? You see a lot of these gas stations or these 7-Elevens and stuff. It's all run by either Arabs or Jews or whatever. I never see in black communities businesses owned and operated by purely black people.
But that
they're
is
all
what,
out
that's
of
what,
the community.
Matt, that's what Bianchi and that is what and Michigan is talking about. We have a problem within our own community that we are not willing to stand up and face. We have a problem. And that problem is lying to one another and lying to ourselves because we will not deal with the problem that we have. How in the world are you raised by a woman in your home, yet your mother does not tell you how important it is that you treat your sisters like ladies and any other woman out there? How in the world does that happen? How in the world does that happen? I mean, come on now. We need to take ownership of this. How is it that I let my son come home with a pocket full of money? This is not our culture, this is not who we are, and this is not where we're from. So we want to talk about ancestry. We need to take ownership of our families and teach our young men how to be men and quit dogging black men out and making them do more than what they actually have, but to build them. Because until we start building the black male, we're going to lose. Go ahead, 216.
Oh, thanks for letting me talk. I just wanted to make a quick observation about white people, as I am a white person, and how we think, and how a lot of people think. It's not the color of skin. It's mostly culture. I'm going to tell you something that white people love. White people love a black person that acts white, that talks white, that acts white. White people love that. What do you think about that? How about the other white guy? Do you agree with me?
That
I don't give you an example. Let me give you one example before you talk.
You're making his face turn red, man.
Yeah, right.
Let me give you an example. You know the tennis player, the Williams sisters. You know all them, Venus and Serena, and they act black. And a lot of white people, you know, they root against them. Well, they just lost to a black girl. One of them just got beat by a black girl over the weekend in the Australian Open. And she talks white. She acts white. Her mannerisms were white. And the white people all love her. You know, she's black. They love her. They don't like the Williams sisters.
Her father and her mother was very strong black. Her father was a professional footballer. He got killed in an automobile accident. And her mother, I think, comes from up on the East Coast. She performed on a swim team for the University of Boston and one of those universities on the East Coast. But
hold on, Bianchi.
Serena is her idol.
But answer the question about the comfortability. Because what he's saying is the assimilation and the comfortability that they have with her diction and her pronunciation makes them easier for them to communicate and to warm up to her than someone who does not have the articulation.
Well, you know,
and
he is absolutely right. Whites would prefer for you to have a diction and speak their language. I'm going to give you an example with me. I was working for Bethlehem Steel, putting up a building on Highway 75 in Detroit back in 1973. I needed a place to stay because of the job that lasted for months. I got on the phone. I got in the paper. I seen a rooming house. I got on the phone and talked to this white lady. And my English, my verbiage, my use of the words convinced her that I was white until I got there and knocked on the door. She opened the door, and she put her hand on her mouth. She said, "Oh, no." And I said, "Lady, you know you're discriminating, don't you?" She said, "Just please, please go away."
South Carolina? South Carolina, I know you've had this situation, too.
Oh, listen, guys, let me explain this to you, okay? You know, it's not a matter of, and this is what gets me, and I'm kind of shocked, you know, that here's a white guy talking about black people acting white.
Right.
When from my point of view, it is me acting like myself.
Right.
Okay. This is what I am. This is who I am. And if I don't care because you've got some folks down here in South Carolina that are white and act just as redneck. You can't understand a thing they're saying if you're not from that area. If you're not from that neighborhood. You go down to Charleston. There are some white folks down there that talk just as Geechee. And for those who don't know what Geechee is, you got to go to Charleston to find that one out. You can't understand a thing they're saying. So am I to assume that because of my color, automatically I have diction issues and can't operate in the mainstream? Now that to me is the ultimate in racism.
But now South Carolina, I've got to say this way. What your diction, your assimilation to white America will take you farther. I call it bilingual. Then you're not being able to communicate effectively, because we do, and we live in a European a nation that, and you have to speak the King's English if you're going to advance.
Whoa! Did I just hear you say what I thought you said?
Yes,
oh,
I did.
Oh, be quiet! You didn't hear nothing.
Yes, I did.
That was just a.
Oh, she didn't really. Okay, she just okay, all right. She didn't really mean that. She was just.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Hey,
yes, I did.
Bianca, did you hear that?
Yeah, she's right. I know
you get twisted from time to time too.
I call it bilingual.
Saying what she said.
I call it bilingual. I mean,
I call it bilingual also.
Listen,
you know,
she
one
said,
reason why
I
never
know
had
we
no
live
problem
in a European nation, is what she said.
We
you know one reason I didn't have no problem with my name? Because I own the damn company.
Right. But what I'm saying is, and 216, I want you to jump back in. I appreciate your candor, because there's a reason why for years African American women could not wear their hair in their natural state, because we had to assimilate.
Well, mm-hmm. Let me
What I would like to ask the caller, Tracy, since we going there.
We going there.
Why do white people feel so guilty?
About what?
You didn't say anything.
I'm asking the caller, not you.
Okay.
You're asking me? I didn't think white people were guilty. I thought they felt guilty. I don't know. That confuses me.
No.
Then why do
I don't
that,
think
how
so.
Do you feel
hold on,
how
hold on,
they
hold on,
feel
hold on.
Guilty? They give confessions
in
for
what
certain
way?
Things.
And what do you mean?
Well, I feel so sorry for the poor little black kids. Let's give them this.
Do you think that's white guilt? I got to ask that question. Do you think that all the entitlements that we have in America is white guilt?
I truly do.
No, and I would say absolutely not. I would say just the opposite.
And why would you say that? If you say that,
well,
payment,
because
that reparation? You're saying that's reparation?
Well, the main reason why they do that is to keep you in a confused state. In other words, keep you believing that this country is something that is not. So let's say that you're coming to the realization, man, y'all something else. Then get your nonprofit. I'll give you $1 million grant to give you the delusion that this country is something that is not. That's the main reason why they do that.
Now let me say
that. Do with
is that Michigan?
Michigan. Yeah.
Michigan, you're way off. I think you're way off.
I agree.
You think there's some big white club, and I called a couple weeks ago, we all get together and talk about how we're going to keep the black man down. If there is such
no,
a club,
absolutely.
I've never been
well,
in
no.
I can tell you about that
no,
club.
I don't
on,
think there's
time,
no big
a,
white
on,
club.
Minute, hold on. Go ahead.
If he asks me a question, I answer it. No, there's an entire culture not a club.
But let me ask you.
I can tell you that.
Hold on, don't.
It's not a club, it's the entire culture.
Go ahead, Tracy.
So 216, you're saying that there's not a white club, it's just who people are. That's white.
Yeah, you know, yes, and I have to do the same thing that you have to do. I have to sound white as well. If I didn't speak like this, then I would be in this, even with my white skin wouldn't get me anywhere. I'd be in the same. I have to act. You're saying I hate when you guys say white people are European, but I have to act European as well, just like you do. I got to do the same thing you do. I don't want to wear a tie.
You can't wear it. So you can't
just
be a redneck.
You have to.
You can't wear, be a redneck and go for a corporate job. That was the
right.
But Tracy.
Yeah.
When you deal with specifics like this, this is where you can go get data. Put the data out there, and then listen to somebody's opinion and see if it lines up with the data. What he's saying is absolutely untrue and not the case in this country that he got to act white. The culture is him. He don't have to do that.
Hold on, Michigan. There are rules for white people, too.
Hold on.
There are rules for white people. Now, don't get me wrong. The rules are based on their culture, which gives them a heads up. Just by the color of when I say that, it's based on the color of their skin.
What are you basing that off of?
I told Michigan,
Tracy?
You and your daddy. No. I ain't told you before. This is talk radio. This ain't school.
That's right. I forgot.
Well, you know, if you're going to get involved with the pipe fitters here in this city, one of the prerequisites is that you need to have been to prison.
Wait a minute. Go ahead.
Just to give you an idea, okay? If you want to, between where I'm at, if you want to lay sheetrock, okay, unless your name is Chavis Oxendine, or what's the other one? Chavis Oxendine, or any of those names, and have a look like an Indian. I'm talking about a Indian, not no from overseas Indian. You're not gonna get in there and lay no sheetrock.
But now South Carolina, where we are, we're in a melting pot here in Northeast Ohio, and everything here was classified by where you were from, even if you were a part of a European nation. So if you were Italian, you got a certain job. If you were Slovak, if you were Hungarian, if you were Saxon, whatever you were, that's where you were inside of your culture here in Youngstown. But that's one thing that we need to have a true identity about, because when we look at separatism about race, it's more than just black and white. I don't think we understand it as black people, because we're all put in the same lump, even no matter where we're raised. Go ahead, Matt.
A lot of times within the same house, and I'm going to kind of answer the other gentleman's question here as far – well, I forgot the question already. It's been so long. But listen, I have a lot of black friends. We spend Christmas Day at a house, and it's a black family, and there's, I don't know, probably 40 or 50 members that come to this house. And he was talking about diction. And if you listen to all the members of the family and where they come from, because they come from all over the country, there is different diction that you listen to. It genuinely is a melting pot within one house on a certain day.
Well, absolutely.
And you know what? We
because
all
of diction.
Let me give you another example.
Hold on. Wait, let him finish. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, we all get along, we all laugh, we all share ideas, we talk politics, religion, there's liberals, there's everybody, it's different diction, it's a melting pot, this country, and everybody needs to understand that no matter the way that you talk, as long as you can get your point across, and it takes you, you know, as little time as possible, that's what counts.
Okay, now hold on. No, that's not true. No, wait a minute, that's not true, because you have to understand, if Oprah Winfrey went into a strong Southern dialect that she came out of Mississippi, she wouldn't be Oprah Winfrey today.
I'm talking regular American to regular American.
Let me give you an example.
But that still makes a difference when it comes to your pay scale.
Tell me, do y'all remember this name? Roberto Clemente. Baseball player, right? Went through. They refused to call him Roberto. They called him Bobby. And when the sports writers wrote up an interview with them, they used his broken English and spelled it out the way it sounds. So that there was some of the strongest racism that you could ever find.
Can I tell you something, another thing that may sound bad? I hope it doesn't come out this way. White people want so badly for the black people to assimilate and be successful. They want it so badly. I don't think you realize that. They really do. And I think that's a lot. Back to my point, it's not color, it's culture. But color does. But, yeah, when you look at the color, you immediately think that you know, they have a different culture. But white people really do want black people to succeed.
Hold on, Michigan.
I just want to hear what he's got to say. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and that might go to the Roberto and the Bobby. White people want to call him Bobby. They want him to be an American. They want him to be part of the culture. That's why maybe they call him Bobby.
But it's just not him.
Hold on. Pionki, you know I'll get shot by Chicago, by Michigan if I let you cross through in 614. I'm going to pull you up in just a second. Go ahead, Michigan.
See, when you make that, and from making a general statement like that, it's hard to assess whether it's sincere or
true or false,
make the statement.
Michigan.
But when you go into the culture, and let me give you an example. When you get into the distribution of resources, that is not the case that whites want blacks to assimilate.
That's not true.
They're vying for resources, and they want to control it.
Michigan, hold on. You can't finish. Because there have been too many programming and there's been too much money. Billions of dollars have gone into the economic development of underprivileged black community.
Yeah, but see, why would you stop and cut my point off because you tried to call something disingenuous
that people don't want that.
But why would you cut mine off and then cut his off?
I'm not going to have this conversation with you like this because I'm going to 614 in a minute. But what I'm saying is,
I'm done.
We have to be going back to what I said originally. There's a lot of white people that want to see us succeed. Even in the success of President Barack Obama, a lot of people voted for him because they wanted to see black people come out of the situation that they were in. And we need to be honest about that. The problem is we don't want to come out of where we are. Go ahead, 614.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Diva.
I have two comments to make. One is that I'm not shocked, but it still saddens me that we're still having this conversation in 2013. I understand that we need to have it, but I think enough time has passed that we need to start figuring out how we get beyond the racial differences. The second comment I like to make is when your caller says something about white people wanting black people to succeed and be successful in assimilating into the culture. It's not even there. I don't understand how they got the leg up on culture because they basically kicked the Native Americans, group of people that were here first, and just basically took over and made it into theirs. And yet now they want people to assimilate into what they stole. And we should go along with that. I just think that I don't think any race should have a leg up on culture or what's the definitive in American culture, because we all basically have been brought here or came here from somewhere else. So no one has a leg up on culture in America. That's just what my belief.
Well, Diva, what you've got is a situation where, you know, we all came from one place, whether you like it or not, you know, and we all basically have come from the same gene pool. The only difference is that badge of honor that we all wear, and that's the skin that we're in. you know. So rather the Indian was here first when the European got here, they're still cousins. So once we get past that, we all thought of the human race. So, I mean, you know, you can discuss that if you want. If not, you know, you can hold the hatred that you got for each other.
But see, and let me say this, and to Michigan's point of view, we need to understand that people don't want to have racial unity in America. The powers that be, there's no money in harmony.
Well, let me tell you what something else, Tracy. You remember when you was growing up, you remember the old nursery rhyme, you do the hokey poke?
Yeah, you turn yourself around? Yeah, I remember that.
I was over in Senegal, West Africa, and we was going to school. And I heard this music. And I said, man, I ain't heard that in 30 years. And you got white missionaries over there in these black schools teaching these children their culture rather than teaching the children their own culture. And that's, you have to ask yourself, how in the world do all these Africans come up with these European names?
Oh,
like
right.
Patrick and so on and so on.
You're
it's
right.
that the whites tell them that your first name is no good, this, that, it. And not only that, they tell Africans that's coming here. You ever wonder why come you got Africans all up in Minnesota and North Dakota and all that stuff, and you don't see them down in Mississippi and places? Because they tell them, do not associate with the black Americans.
But now, let me say this. Hold on. Pianchi, and I have to correct you on that. I will bring them on. I've had too many Africans come here, and they say the reason why that they do not assimilate with African Americans here, they said that because you're lazy. They said because the American black does not take the opportunity that is awarded to them so that they can thrive. And if we assimilate to that, we will become like them.
Well, it must be two stories going on then. Because
I find that quite hard to believe. That they have the nerve and audacity. I mean, consider where I live, where we have a strong showing of Africans from Somalia, Nigeria, and other nations in Africa, where, yes, you may see the young and the men establishing, but they take big advantage of our social programs.
No. But listen, they take a big advantage of our social programs to get them out of the place that they're in so that they become independent. You don't see them sitting at home watching movies and playing video games.
Yes, you do. There are many wives with their multiple children. Yes, you do. Especially in the communities down here. The men work. You may have one man for four wives and maybe 15 children. And he works, but that is not enough for him to take care of all them children. He may do what he can, but he's still on the system.
Well, let me say this.
Going to the Job and Family Services down here, it's majority African.
And now let me ask you this, Diva. Are they citizens?
Yes.
Are they really?
A good portion of them in the community near me, yes, they are citizens. You have to have at least some type of green card or some type of citizenship to even get services down here.
Well, I will say this. It may be from the area in which they come from, but the Africans that I meet from Ghana and from West Africa and the Ethiopians, when I see them, it's like, woo, they do some serious stuff, and they're serious about this, and I'll bring them on. And what I'm saying is, and to not negate what Michigan and what Pianchi's saying, and Diva, I understand when you talk about the assimilation of it. And 216, I don't think you understand when I have to take on all European customs and cultures, even though I'm not who that is.
Right. I have to as well, though.
I have to understand, because see, but you don't. There are certain things that you're born with that I have to go and try to create.
Some things.
And see, that's where the problem lies. And then we also need to understand that the media plays huge in this on how they make us feel.
I agree.
Because the media shapes our perception of who black is. Because
that's not
my culture.
And they use
hold on, Diva.
We also have to blame ourselves.
Go ahead. When I said that earlier, you missed that. Go ahead, caller, 216.
I was going to say, Diva, she's correct when she says, you know, why do you have to assimilate to the white culture? I don't know why. But, well, because we're the majority. We were. But as far as the American Indian, I didn't do
anything
to the American Indian. No one I know has done anything to the American Indian. I think that's an invalid point.
No, you got to remember smallpox. We got to do some history on that.
No, I didn't.
No.
Me.
You did not. No.
No,
not.
I have nothing to do with that.
But see, and let me say this: as a black person, you get blamed for everything that anybody that was white ever did, just because
right.
you're white. And,
I know,
and it's not right.
And I don't think it's right.
And it's not. It's not right, but it is true. Because you're white, you get blamed for slavery.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
And I'm just going to go with majority rules, which is what happens a lot. I think that's what happened in this country. Majority rules. The majority was white. The white culture is the dominant culture. When I was in high school and I was on the bus, it was probably 10% white. Well, on that bus, the black culture was the majority. We listened to the black music. We did the black thing. The majority rules, which is usually what happens. And that's, I think, how the society, you know, was shaped. I'm not saying it's right. That's just what happened.
But that's a good point. See, in that case, when you look at it from that perspective, then you don't see it as racism. And it is not racism. You see? That's natural.
Yeah, you can't tell that to the Republicans,
though. We want to flip that. And that would be unnatural. Why are we trying to flip that?
But we have standards that we need to live by. I'm serious. We have standards as Americans. And I think that goes back to our political stance and our constitutionality of what we do. That we have standards that we should live by as Americans. People came here to America because we were America. And what we're now trying to do is we're trying to make everybody happy in the Americas. And you can't do that.
Well, I don't know why blacks do that anyway. They need to go ahead and galvanate around what they have, especially in their population center. I don't understand why they still like to turn to whites for validity as it is. Whites are a population that's decreasing. Their power is decreasing. Nobody's paying them any attention, especially in countries around the world. And blacks still want to pay a part. And, you know, you got black schools that's starting here teaching French as a language rather than Chinese.
There's nothing wrong with that. We need to learn French. We need to learn a whole lot. But
well,
you
that's
can't
a whole
learn
other
you,
story about the French.
I'm just saying, my problem is we need to learn a whole lot. But the problem that we have right now is we're not learning anything. So right now we're not even reading. And we're not looking at the slavery that's happening and that everybody's paying for. Why am I spending somewhere in the $40,000, $50,000 a year to incarcerate people and not spending $20,000 to educate people?
Well, that's two things going on. One, you keep them out of competition. Another, you use them as a commodity.
But again, why are we allowing it? And then if 216, if I have to assimilate to his culture and play by his rules and his game because those are the rules that's being played, why am I not just going ahead and playing the game until I can make my own rules?
Mm-hmm. And again, I have to do the same thing too.
I mean,
remember, it's not really my culture; it's the culture of 100 years ago. I have to do the same thing.
So you don't have any say in this,
right? No, I don't. No, I don't have any say in this. As a normal white man living in this, no, I have to wear this. Again, I got to wear the tie. I don't want to wear the tie. I have to wear the tie. I have to dress properly. I have to speak properly, just like you do. I didn't make the rules.
So broken English.
Someone did. I agree. White people did make the rules, but you know, it was 100 years ago, 200 years ago. I was born in 1970, and I got to play by the same rules as you do, and I got to assimilate just like you do. Now it's easier for me because I was raised to do it.
But that's not necessarily so because I hate to say it, but your white skin gives you more of a pass than my black skin in not being in suit and tie and having that articulate vernacular.
I agree with you.
Dr. Claude Anderson's book did the research on the amount of times that a white man can go bankrupt and still become a millionaire inside of America versus a black man. Now, what do those statistics tell you? They tell you that within this culture, there's mechanisms and everything is in place for you. Even if you fail, I think it was 6-1. The 6 times that a white man can actually go bankrupt and re-become a millionaire in this culture.
They can have
and
bad
for a black
credit.
Man, it was only once. Now, what is that saying? It's just saying that the culture provides an out and a way for you, and it's supposed to.
You know, when I was in business, I was already in business, and my commercial banker was a young black male, and I mean he was excellent. I could get any loans. So I said to myself, let me go down to Boatman's Bank and act like I'm just starting in business all over again. And I went down there and talked to this white banker, a commercial banker, and filled out the papers and everything, and came back 2 days later and he said, well, I'm sorry, we can't help you. Now, it's the same paperwork that I could acquire $300,000-$500,000 in cash at Mercantile Bank. Y'all can check these names up. Pianti ain't lying, ain't making this up. And you got the two. Here I'm dealing at Mercantile Bank with a black banker, and here I'm dealing at Boatman's Bank with a white banker. Same qualifications, same collateral and all everything. And you see you get turned down when you start getting into those type of activities by whites. Now, if I wanted to probably start a barbershop or a barbecue joint, oh, yes, Mr. Pianki, you can have whatever you want. As a matter of fact, I even changed my first name so he wouldn't have a difficult time pronouncing it.
Can I say something controversial?
Go ahead.
Am I stirred up? All right. I'm going to go back to my high school. It was 50% black, 50% white. The black kids were getting suspended probably five to one over the white kids. There was a big outrage over it. Now, with the parents, us kids, we knew why. It was because the black kids were doing misbehaving more, 5-1. And that's a valid reason, and that could be valid for a lot of them. Maybe that could be valid for the white people going bankrupt 6-1. And I hate that. I'm throwing it out there.
Are we still on
was
the air?
Was it because the black kids were doing more bad things, or is it just seems that the punishment was egregious?
They were doing more bad things.
It's just like the penal system, our criminal justice system. You have white people committing the same crime as black people, and a white man will get a slap on the wrist more easily than the black man.
Can I ask the gentleman, I forget his name, a question?
Was that me?
The one that was just talking. Yeah.
Yeah.
This Michigan. Now let me see if you can give me an answer for this. There was a study done in Wallamoo, Baruti. They did a study about females being raped in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they just did it across the country, you know, spot research. And they found that on average, the sentence, and it wasn't even regardless of whether the female was white or black, the sentence for raping a black woman, the average sentence for raping a black woman was 2 years, and the average sentence given out for raping a white woman was 8. Now, this, of course, there was no club where they all got on the phone and said, "Hey man, we gonna sentence when a black woman get raped, that's only worth 2 years, and when a white woman get raped, it's worth 8 years." That was no club. You're right.
Well, you got one better than that, Michigan,
oh,
man.
But this is just a clear one. See, when you do clear things, I just want to hear what he think. What do you think the rationale of that was?
Well, what was in the paper about 2 months ago that the dark-skinned black males get a longer sentence than light-skinned black males, and the same thing with the females?
It's all over. I was just using the one. It's everywhere. But what do you think about that, man? These are judges that don't even know each other.
Yeah.
What do you think about
that? Yeah, I don't know what to say. I think it's a travesty, though. I don't know why. That's terrible.
Let me ask this question, too, because this has been brought up quite a few times, is where these sentences take place, where these cities are, and who the judges are, and what their where they come from. I've heard a lot of black judges are harsher, are that way, Michigan, exactly what you were talking about. They'll give the white-skinned lady who got raped, or the person who raped that, more time than a black skin. I've also heard it dealing with the actual culture the ones who are doing the punishing, the ones who are involved with the sentencing being the problem, and they tend to be black judges.
Well, that's why they done it in majority white communities where you have white judges and white on white rape. Black communities where you might
are
have
you
black
satisfied
white
with your
rape.
Current level of reproductive health?
all of those, and so that average came back based off of all of those. So, you know, the ability for somebody to go back and say, "Oh well, because blacks more hard on." No, this was across the board. White
so you're
on
saying
white
that
race,
with the national
black
average.
On white, right? Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Didn't make
but
a difference.
But now hold on, guys. Now I had to. When we need to look at why things happen, and if we're dishonest about the perception of the media and that they've played on us over the years. We need to understand why we do what we do and why things are done the way they're done. You know, when you think that I'm inferior and it's been ingrained in you that I'm inferior, then you will always treat me as though I'm substandard. When you have said that African-American males are savages, and they have pictured this, and they've made you believe that they can be guilty of rape more so than a white male, and that they cannot be rehabilitated, or they cannot learn, or they cannot exceed, because they have. And white society is just as much of a victim of this as black society, because they have brainwashed everyone into believing things that are not true. And because they have done that, our school systems do not have the same expectation based on their brainwashing of a society as well as the actions of the brainwashings of black society. So when they go in to teach children in school, they don't expect for them to learn as higher as they do the white counterparts in the suburbs.
Well, you know, another thing that hurt white America, too, is the Internet. Because I heard Hillary Clinton chastising her counterpart of the Chinese government. And this lady turned around and said, you know, the way you treat blacks in America, you don't have nothing to talk about.
But again, but if you look at what they said and how much in love we are with her, we have to understand that perception and the media, when I say media, I'm not just talking about television. I'm talking about news. I'm talking about, you know, your radio. I'm talking about your music. I'm talking about images. We have kids who are starving to death, who are trying to become like the models that they see on the front covers of the pages. Just like we have for years, African-American women have tried to bleach their skin. You know, we need to be honest about this. So when we get sentences and the black judge gives us more time than the white judge, we have to understand the reason why that is because we don't believe those people can be rehabilitated. And we believe that they belong there. That's how a black boy can stand up with a gun in his hand and shoot another black boy who looks just like him and never think twice about it. And how we can stand for them going after assault weapons in America when they start killing kids in Newtown, Connecticut, but not when they kill kids on the streets of Youngstown, Ohio, or Columbus, Ohio, or Chicago, Illinois, or New York City, New York. And we sit up there and toe the line. You know, I said to a woman this morning, have you ever noticed that when you watch the news, you always see the black guys in the orange jumpsuits, but you don't see the white folks in the orange jumpsuits as much? You ever notice that?
Yeah, I've been seeing this for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. Don't we know that that's conditioning to our mind? That you see us sitting, when there's a stabbing, if they don't show them, you know it's a white family. If it's a black, if you show them, you know it's a black family. You see the side of his arms, so you'll know what he is. And we want to be the news anchors, but we don't want to be the producers. Don't we realize that producing actually shapes the mind of who we are?
Look in the one election years ago, how Strong Thurmond used the black hand taking the job ticket from the white hand.
And Bill inside the chat room, Bill said, you know, Bill inside of Facebook, he said that's just what you call soft racism. Don't we understand that it's conditioning both to the white person and to the black person? So I'm desensitized when I see black folks and they think that's how black people are? It keeps us at each other's throats so that they can control what's going on in the lower levels. And we need to wake up and say this is not who we are and we're not going to treat them this way. People are people. People bleed.
Right, and as I, you know what, as I've said before, the real atrocity is the fact that this is being used as a tool now in American politics and in American media. Racism is used as a tool to strengthen a political idealism, and that's a real atrocity.
It makes money. We don't understand the prison system, the penal system is a moneymaker now. Racism is a moneymaker now. It's a controllability now. Right now, if I can incite riot, then I can make money off of you, both for black leadership as well for white infrastructure. So 216, you're right. But we need to understand that all of us are victims here, and we need to quit playing the victim and actually start taking the power. Because as long as they keep us divided, they win.
Agreed. Yeah, on an individual level, we all have to treat each other with respect, kindness and respect.
And
that's the only way to do it.
We want to applaud Martin Luther King, and this is Martin Luther King month, but let's be real about this. He said to judge a man on the content of his character, not by the color of his skin. I need to quit endearing black people just because they're black. I need to call out wrong.
But yet, how long are we going to sit back and allow people to bastardize the memory of people like Dr. King and these people and come up with stories about they were really communists and socialists? How long are we going to sit back and take that before we go, wait a second, this history is being rewritten in front of our eyes just to be used as that political tool that I spoke about before? When is that going to stop?
The day that we wake up and say we're not going to take it any longer, because you have to understand the same history that they are rewriting today is the same history that they rewrote yesterday. We're embarking upon Black History Month, like Black history is separate from American history. If we're going to do African history, then we need to go to Africa and do history.
Well,
but there's no reason why.
I disagree with that, Tracy. You know why come you have a Black History Month. And then, too, I can name you 10 other ethnic groups that have history months, too, that you don't hear nothing about.
But, Pianki, that's not what I'm saying. If they start telling the truth, because, see, white folks need to know black history just like black people need to know black history.
Well, when you was a little girl, you thought you was a pilgrim, too, just like I did. But
no,
we never seen nobody get off looking like that.
No, they told me in my school, because I went to a white school, they told me I was a slave. And I wasn't going
to
be.
I went to white school too,
and they told me I wasn't going to be no better than a slave that came out of that. I was never free. That's what they told me.
When I was coming up in grade school, I didn't know nothing about slavery. I thought I was a pilgrim. That's what we was talking.
But see, Pion, what I'm saying is Black History Month. We need to put Black history into history and quit lying to everybody about history. We need to tell the good and the bad about history. What America is doing, they're sugarcoating their history so that you will never know the truth about anybody's history. There's Italian history that black people need to know.
Well, there's Italian History Month here in the United States.
But listen to what I'm saying. But how many black people do you see participating in Italian history? We go down and like their food, but that's all. And what I'm saying is America needs to open... America needs to be honest about the history of Americans and quit lying.
Well, then you need to stop. If a black woman that went to her workplace with a badge on her chest that said, "Kiss me, I'm Irish," everything's cool. But when she go to the same workplace with a badge on her chest saying, "I love being black," she gets fired.
Pianki, hear me what I'm saying. If we would quit lying about the history of America and start telling the truth across the board. You see, right now, you talk about them not putting black history inside or Afrocentric teaching inside of schools. But see, if white people don't know who black people are and black people don't know who they are.
Well, white people won't let blacks tell the story. Malif Asante, a professor at the Temple University in Philadelphia, published a book called Black History, Black American History, People's Publishing Company. I got a copy of the book here. People's Publishing Company would not let him, would not publish the book because he had Malcolm X's portrait on the cover of the book. He had Martin Luther King.
Pianki, you're gone too far. I only got 10 minutes. Hear me what I'm saying. The same history that's in that book. Listen to what I'm saying. The same history that's in that book should be in the American history books.
Well, you say it was Black American History. That was the name of the book.
No, no, no. Listen to what I'm saying. We have American history inside of our schools. Our children in elementary schools and through grade school and through middle schools and high schools, they are taught history. But you got to have a separate history for everybody's history instead of them writing it in as they should. And history is more than Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, the Black Panther, slavery, and George Washington Carver.
The book is titled African American History, A Journey of Liberation. I got it right here in front of me. It's published by People's Publishing Company. When he wanted to have Malcolm X's picture on the cover along with Martin Luther King, Frederick Douglass, and Sojourner Truth, they said, white would never read this book.
Listen, no, I'm not talking about, listen, right now, if you look at your history books that you bring home for the 4 years of school that you have, whatever pictures they put on the book, they need to put everybody's book in it, and inside the book, they ought to have all history in it. America is rewriting history because we're lying to everybody about the history of America.
But, Tracy, this man tried to do that. Do you understand what I'm trying to get across to you?
And what I'm saying to you is we don't need to have a Malcolm X only. We need to have Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, Murray Evers, as well as as well as William McKinley, George Washington, Tom Jefferson, and the rest of them.
But you know,
and Ulysses S. Grant.
What you need to do is write a history book, because I can't tell this man how to write a history book. He wrote it the way he wanted to write it.
Listen to what I'm saying. Your textbooks, I think you've gone too far. That is with the history, the book that you have. I'm talking about the textbooks that we have in school. And Matt, and I'm quite sure 216 can attest to this, if you went to a white school, your Black history was limited to the 60s.
Well, that's why I come
true.
Matt, am I lying?
No, that's true. You didn't hear much about Frederick Douglass. You didn't hear much about the American founders that were Black. You didn't hear, basically it was Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and, it was 60s. Absolutely.
Okay, so what, Bianchi, what I'm saying is, we need to know our history, but we need to tell our history, and the history should be a part of the curriculum of America.
My grandson goes to an all-Black, matter of fact, there's only one white girl in the school, high school.
That's not good either.
Well, let me finish. I sat down with the counselor, and I told him I don't want him to have no Black history because he gets that at home. So
that's not good either.
It is good. It's my child.
So what I'm just saying, if we live in a diverse world, then we need to have a diverse world, and we need to learn from everyone. The problem that we have is we're not learning the truth from everyone.
That you have on Tracy's show, my 50-year-old grandson could sit down and talk to you about him just as well as anybody else.
Hello.
But that comes from, go ahead.
Well, Black history is being made every day. It's a Black person every day that's creating some kind of history, but it's not being told. The thing is that if they're going to persuade or put their perception or their slant on Black history anyway, if it's going to be told to the masses, what Black folks have to do is create, once again, an economic base in the areas which they come from or Black areas, so they can show their perception or their vision of their history and their businesses. If you're going outside, it's always going to be some kind of change to it, because they're not going to let you create your own history without they putting a slant on it. They're not going to do it. It's no Black inventors in the Black textbooks in schools. Where are all the Black inventors at?
George Washington Carver is in there, yeah.
Physicist books that's used to study physics, and nothing is said about the 13 African-American scientists that worked on the Manhattan Project. It wouldn't have been a Manhattan Project if it hadn't been for them.
As a matter of fact, if you look at where the cell phone, the cell phone technology that they based it on had some an African-American contributor to that.
African-American female, you're absolutely right.
But listen to what I'm saying. But listen to what I'm saying, guys, and I agree with you.
The Polaris missile, the launching Pionke. Of the Polaris missile, it was a Black woman that came
Pionke.
Up with this technology.
But, Bianchi, let me say, this is where I'm going. Inside of our textbooks that we learn inside of the area outside of Black culture, outside of the Black school, that it has people that want to talk about Black folks, it's not written a part of American history. And because it's not written a part of American history, it keeps white people ignorant of how great Black people can be. And have been.
Let me see if I can clarify Tracy's position here for a second. What she's saying is instead of having black history and white history, it's all incorporated at the same time in a textbook without having any racial divides. Everybody's mentioned in an American history book that doesn't have the words black history or white history involved. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm getting. What I'm saying is we need American history. Because I am American. I am an African American, and I should be written in the textbooks just like everyone else.
Well, then what?
But when you don't control that, that's why it's not done, and it's not going to be done.
You don't control. It's not going to happen. And who's going to wait?
It's not going to happen.
Years.
Right. It can happen.
It can, but it's not going.
Well, it can happen, but it's going to be a slant on it. So it's not going to be true. This society is not going to let your perception, which you see to be 100%. It may be 80%. It may be 70%, but it's always going to be a slant on it.
Tracy, you have the concept of being an American is an illusion. It doesn't exist.
Okay, hold on.
I got
a question for
you.
216, is that true?
No, Michigan is living in his own little fantasy world, I believe.
But all the history and all the stuff,
the mummies in Egypt. It
backs me up, not you.
So where do I live
in the fairy tale land,
Michigan,
backs up what I'm saying, and not what you're saying.
Can I ask you a question?
I'm in the fairy tale land.
So where do I belong? Or should I go get an island?
Because Africa don't
want me.
Well,
Africa,
you don't know that. Now, that's a whole other conversation we need to have.
So,
Bianchi,
where do we belong?
That's a different conversation.
Crazy. My wife is a Ghanaian.
Okay.
No, you can't say that Africa don't want me. I went back to where my people come from the Volta region of the Eight-Way tribe. My wife has gotten in.
Okay.
Man, how she knows that and that's never been? You see that?
How she know where?
How you know that Africa don't want you and you ain't never
Africa
been?
Africa don't want black folk.
Don't get me wrong. You know that. You've never been. They'll take me.
So you can't say that they don't want you.
I got to go. I'll be back tomorrow. Okay.
I want all the black people here. I love them. I love this conversation.
Hey, thanks a lot for listening. Hey, 216, where are you from?
Cleveland. But I work in Youngstown a lot.
Okay, welcome to Tracy and Friends. We're glad having you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Listen, we'll go on until tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless you. Have a good day and have a wonderful afternoon.
If you have parents entering a nursing home.